Lindsay TV.
Unless you put yourself in the place of Israel in the first century, subsequent to the Apostle Paul's calling and ministry, and seen Peter in Babylon, John exiled to Patmos, James killed, Stephen stoned, until you had seen all that and experienced all that, you will not understand either Romans chapter 11 or the entire book of Hebrews. Romans 11 and the book of Hebrews was written to answer the pressing question, which was, what happened to Israel and what is going to happen to Israel? And it is so tempting with the passage of time to think that God is slack concerning his promises. And listen, if God is slack in one promise, then nobody has any confidence whatsoever to believe any of his promises. This is Martin Zender here at MZTV. God's promises, the promises he makes to us in Ephesians chapter 1, designated beforehand for the place of a son. Oh, the promise of the snatching away. The promise of being seated at the right hand of God. The promise of being constituted righteous. All these things cannot be counted on unless God has been faithful all the way down the line. And to think that God's promises to the ancient people Israel, even though I know that's not our people, it's not our calling, it's not our gospel, I understand that. We're not talking about that right now. We're talking about the promises of God. And if God has called his people out, which obviously he did through Abraham, Abraham's grandson being Jacob, renamed Israel, 12 tribes, unless God fulfills his promises to them, then we can't count on any of his promises. And there are people today who astoundingly say that God is finished with Israel. Again, I've talked about this over and over. Going to bring out some new material today. So that God is done with Israel. L. Ray Smith believed this, unfortunately. Gary Amrault believed this way. God was done with Israel. There's a whole gaggle of people called preterists who think that God is done with Israel. Replacement theology people, God is done with Israel. What happened to all those promises? I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 9, where Daniel pronounces 77s of time in order to fulfill certain things in Israel that must be fulfilled. And unless they are, God is a liar. It's that simple. Today I'm going to talk about the secret of the duration of Israel's blindness. One of the key words in Romans 11 is the word until that Paul uses in Romans 11, 25. Going to go there specifically, of course. So I'm very concerned about God's promises. Israel falls under that category. So that's why I'm interested in this. And just because years has gone by since the prophet Daniel, even though years has gone by since the Apostle Paul, God is not slack concerning his promises. I know it's a strain on faith. It's a major strain on faith. But faith is an assurance concerning things which are not being observed, as I always say. Let's go to Romans chapter 11 and let's get the overall context. The overall context is, is God done with Israel? And Paul says that in verse 1 of Romans 11. I am saying then, does not God thrust away his people? That's the pressing question. And even the disciples, before our Lord ascended into heaven from the Mount of Olives, after the day of Pentecost, said, are you at this time restoring the kingdom to Israel? That was a pressing question. You may not care about it. Somebody might say, who cares about Israel? That's not our calling. It's the promises of God that we're checking up on here. Does not God thrust away his people? May it not be coming to that. All you need are those two sentences in Romans 11, and you should understand that, no, God does not thrust away his people. In other words, yes, God is going to fulfill. But it seems like he had thrust them away, because, as I said, the fortunes of the kingdom went down, down, down. Following the book of Acts, it starts high and mighty with Israel at the day of Pentecost. Thousands and thousands of people hear Peter in their own language. It's a miracle. Things are going mighty fine for the kingdom at that time. Then as we see Acts progressing, bad things started happening for Israel. And then we see the calling of Paul in Acts chapter 9, and we see the beginning of his ministry in Acts chapter 13. And from that point on, Paul's ministry, the account of it in Acts, grows as Israel's recedes. And this hasn't changed yet. Paul is still growing, and Israel has still receded. But as we see Israel ready to come back on the front burner when God rejoins his people, you're going to see, I think we are seeing, we're seeing the body of Christ diminishing. Not in spirit, not in power, not in announcement, but, you know, not that many people hanging on to it. And you see Israel's stuff starting to happen. You've heard about the red heifer now being available for the priesthood in Israel. I've seen video of Israel sacrificing outside of the wall. It doesn't matter where that false temple is, by the way, folks. You're all looking for the rebuilding of the temple. It doesn't have to be anything more than a tent. It can be a lean-to. It can be a shed. There doesn't even have to be a building, but yes. But the temple can be, again, remember, the temple in Israel in the past was a tent, a tabernacle in the wilderness. They carried it around. It was mobile. It was a tent. It was a freaking tent. But that was the precursor of the temple, so it can be that way again. Remember, the details don't really matter because it's not the true temple. If you want the details of how the millennial temple will be, and you read, of course, Ezekiel chapter 44 on that. So Paul goes on to say, no, God doesn't thrust away his people. I'm really paraphrasing. Now, it looks like he does, but he doesn't, because in Israel, there's always a remnant. Elijah was worried about this at one time, says Paul. Elijah went through a period where he thought God was done with Israel. He said, they've torn down your altars. They've killed your prophets. I alone am left. Paul says, the guy felt awful lonely. He thought he was the only one, but God told Elijah at that time, I have 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah must have looked around and said, where are they? I don't see them. But they were there. God assured Elijah. That's interesting right there. Really, I'm just thinking about this. Where were they? You would think that a prophet like Elijah would be really on the ball. This is verse 2. Have you not perceived in Elijah what the scripture is saying as he is pleading with God against Israel? Against Israel, but at the same time he's for Israel. He's conflicted. Listen to this. Your prophets they kill, your altars they dig down. I was left alone, they're seeking my soul. He's concerned. He's mad at them, but he's concerned like they're done. I'm the only guy left. You're going to start the kingdom with me? But the Spirit of God says to him, I left for myself 7,000 men who do not bow the knee to the image of Baal. So here's a guy, an astute guy like Elijah, and he's surrounded by 7,000 people who are true, and he can't even find one. Like, what? Where are they? So hopefully, maybe, there's more members of the body of Christ than we think. Like, where are they? Yeah, I've got 7,000 who, really? Where are they? I hope they're out there. Great. But even 7,000 in Israel is an extremely small group of people. Left of the whole nation? Left of the whole nation? Millions and millions of people? And there's 7,000 who are true? They're out there. And Paul says, very important here, thus then in the current era also there is a remnant. In the current era. And we're still in the era Paul is writing about here. We're still in that era. The current era. I got many proofs about that, but it's not my intention to talk about the current era, but this is the same era Paul is writing about. We're still in it, and so there are faithful people. This is why I insist that there are people today who can grasp on to the Israel gospel. Not every believer in Jesus Christ today is a member of the body of Christ. There are some who are true to the Israelite calling, and they can be of any stripe, of any nationality. It doesn't matter. No, they don't have to be Israelites. Well, because there's such a thing as proselytes. Even back in the day, of course, there were those of other nations who identified with Israel. And so they were counted as part of Israel, even though they didn't have the privileges of the natural born sons. So Paul says, not to worry about it. And then Paul says, remember, The reason you have these blessings is because Israel has apostatized. Israel's off the table, and now God has come to you. God uses that as an occasion to bless the nation. It's not like God, oh, look what happened here. I got a real opportunity to bless other people. Stubborn, stiff-necked, natural-born Israelites. No, it was all planned, of course. God uses that as an occasion, as it plays out on the stage. So God gives them a spirit of stupor. Verse 8, Romans 11. Verse 11, do they not trip that they should be falling? No, may it not be coming to that. Again, but in their offense is salvation to the nations to provoke them to jealousy. It's a domino thing. Israel is temporarily cast aside. That domino falls. That brings blessing to the nations. The nations getting blessings in turn makes Israel jealous, and we come back full circle. That's a weird string of dominoes there. Forget about it. And it comes around full circle, and Israel becomes jealous at God's blessings to the nations, and she picks up on her calling. I don't think this will happen until the snatching away. At the snatching away, Israel's going to be given lightning-like realization. I've never said this before. This is what I believe. Everything at the end of this era, at the end of this end, is happening very suddenly, very quickly. I believe that this jealousy Paul's talking about in Romans 11 is going to kick in instantly at the snatching away. Talk about a supernatural event. The snatching away of the body of Christ is a supernatural event. Looks like God is on it. Looks like God's on the ball. Looks like he's not slack concerning his promises. And once this event happens, as we're going to get to that, the secret of Israel, the duration of Israel's blindness in verse 25. Now that once that happens, then Israel is going to realize what happened. They're going to be given supernatural. I mean, I know what you're saying. I know. You're looking at the field. You're seeing, where are the faithful Israelites? Well, they're out there. But a lot of them aren't up to speed. A lot of them maybe don't even realize they're Israelites. But there's going to be a supernatural giving of knowledge. It's going to be like, this is what it's going to be like, only on a national scale. It's going to be the upper room. The apostles did not enlist or sign up for a 90-day course on understanding everything Jesus told him when he was walking with them on the earth. Call now. Operators are standing by. In 90 days, you can understand everything Jesus was telling you, you idiots. No. They got it like that. They became illuminated in a moment. It was miraculous. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's exactly what's going to happen to the nation as a whole. It's going to be a miraculous understanding. Israel's going to realize the snatching away happened, even though they're not going to see it with their eye. They're going to know that it happened. Those who are prepared, those who have been prepared, those who are ready. The 144,000 are out there. They're alive. Well, Martin's going to take a long time to bring them up to speed. No, take 1 second. 1 second to make them realize who they are, what their task is, make them understand the snatching away just happened, let them feel the motivation of knowing that, oh, wow, that body of Christ was an amazing thing. We see now over the centuries how it has developed. We see now that guy we hated, Paul, we see now the purpose of it all. And there's going to be a slight pang there because they're going to be jealous. And the jealousy, though, is going to provoke them to their own calling. God is going to use that. That's going to be one of the supernatural things that befalls Israel at the end of this eon. In an instant, they're going to be made jealous. They're going to understand the whole scope of this era of the nations. They're going to know what they missed, then they're going to realize what they have. They're going to know what they missed, and then they're going to appreciate more what they have. The illumination's going to come, the light's going to flash on, just like the light that flashed upon Saul on the road to Damascus, instant education, and boom, they're out there, the 144,000 are ready, the tribulation begins, they're sealed, game on. And remember, Romans 11 is all national. It concerns Israel and the nations. It's not individual. I don't want you to read a verse like 19. You will be declaring then, boughs are broken out that I may be grafted in. Paul says, yes, verse 20, ideally, by unbelief are they broken out. Yet you stand in faith, but be not haughty, but fear. If God spares not the natural bowels, neither will he be sparing you. This is not individual. When Paul says neither will he be sparing you, he's not talking to Hymenaeus even. He's not talking to Tryphena or Tryphosa or Rufus or Mary or Junicus. No, he's talking to you, the nations. The nations are now taking the place of Israel. Israel's supposed to be the head of the world. They're supposed to be doing all this stuff. But now the nations, who are not even a natural part of the tree, they're the ones bringing the light to the world. They're the ones printing the Bibles. They're the ones bringing the laws to the world that keeps the world somewhat at bay, the evil of the world somewhat curtailed. They're the ones. But now it's the nations that are doing that. Israel has been displaced by the nations, but the nations are going to be kicked out. Nations, not individuals. Nations are going to be kicked out. Israel's going to gain her rightful place because she's a natural bow. See, a natural bow. Verse 25. How there can be such a thing as a preterist today, I don't know. How there can be an Israel replacement theory person today after this verse, I don't know. Do they not understand this verse? Do they not see it? It's been in the Bible for a long time. Paul says, I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret. This is another one of Paul's secrets. Brethren, lest you may be passing for prudent among yourselves and everybody who thinks God's done with Israel, including Alan Hess. Alan Hess thinks God's done with Israel. Shame, shame, shame. You're passing for prudent among yourselves. Well, it looks like God's done with Israel. Looks like it to me. Well, it looked like it to Elijah too. But he's not. To declare that is to be passing as prudent among yourself. That is, you're smarter than God. You think it's a prudent thing to say that God is slack concerning his promises to Israel? I don't. That's the height of imprudency, if that's a word. If it's not, it is now. I'm not willing for you to be ignorant of this secret, brethren, lest you may be passing as prudent among yourselves, that callousness in part on Israel's come, that is, allowing for the remnant. Not all of Israel has been callous. There's a remnant. There's a few who have not been callous because God himself has preserved them, and God hardened the rest. But hardness or callousness in part on Israel's come until the complement of the nations may be entering, the completion of the nations. Somebody asked a question lately here on one of my videos. I said, is this... am I to understand this as being the last member of the body of Christ coming in? The answer to that, in my humble opinion, is yes. The fullness of the nations. This whole era of the nations is to call out over the last 2,000 years certain individuals, rare individuals, individuals who have been designated beforehand, before the disruption of the world, to hear this word, to hear the call of God and to respond to it. To believe it, then to be justified. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. Those he justifies, these he glorifies also. And thus, there's a secret. It'd be nice if Paul said, okay, Israel's going to be hardened until September 16th, 2023. That'd be nice. We got a date here, but no. But it's enough of a secret to be called a secret that, for one thing, there is an event that will mark the end of Israel's stubbornness and the beginning of her salvation. I'm going to get to that next verse here. Yes, the end of her stubbornness and the beginning of her salvation. So not only is her stubbornness going to end, but verse 26, let's just go there. And thus all Israel shall be saved according as it is written. This is a prophecy that will be fulfilled. Duh. It's got to be fulfilled. Arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away irreverence from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. This has to happen. It hasn't happened yet. I promised you I was going to go to Daniel chapter 9. Let's do that quickly. And Daniel 9. God gave Daniel another secret that 77s, that is 490 years, are segregated for your people and for your holy city. And there's a list of things that will happen within that 490-year period. Now, it's a complicated issue, this 490 years. There's a seven-year period that remains to be fulfilled. Some people don't believe that. There's no help for those people, okay? There's a seven-year period that needs to be fulfilled. And what do you know? The tribulation is exactly 7 years. This is the period that is still future. And what do you know? In the tribulation, there's going to be hailstones the size of Rhode Island and rivers turn to blood and the sun scorching people and 200 million supernatural cavalry coming out of the ground killing humanity and a third of humanity being killed. I don't remember. I got a world history class in my sophomore year in high school and don't remember any of that. Guess because it hasn't happened yet. So there's still 1 7-year period remaining until these things happen. To detain transgression, this is what has to happen for your people, Israel. Yeah, God made this promise a long time ago, back in the days of Daniel. Does that keep God from fulfilling his promises? No. To detain transgression, to make sin come to an end, how simple is that? And what did Paul just say to make sin come to an end? What did Paul just say in Romans 11:26? And thus all Israel shall be saved, according as it is written, arriving out of Zion shall be the rescuer. He will be turning away a reverence from Jacob. This is my covenant with them whenever I should be eliminating their sins. Eliminating their sins. Back to Daniel chapter 9, to make sin come to an end. None of this has happened yet that I can tell in Israel. I try to keep up with the news. I haven't noticed that all Israel has become sinless. To make a propitiatory shelter. Okay, that happened. That, of course, the crucifixion of Christ, the fulfillment of the type of the Lamb, that happened. It's within the 490 years, the 77s. To seal the vision, it's sealed. This is a promise. This vision has sealed. God told Daniel, wrap this up, put it away for now, because it's going to be a long time before this stuff happens. Okay, you're gonna go to your fathers. Oh, where? They live off 20 miles away. No, you're going to die. That's a euphemism, Daniel. You're going to go to your fathers. You're going to die. It's going to be a long time, but it's sealed. It's sealed. The promises are sure. To seal the vision and the prophetic word, that's what this is, and to anoint the Holy of Holies. I missed one thing there. To bring the righteousness of the eons. That would be, in my opinion, the 1,000-year kingdom. None of these things have happened yet. So I dare anyone who thinks that God's done with Israel to tell me when any of these things happened. Sin came to an end. Paul corroborates that. Romans 11:26-27. No, haven't seen that yet. So it still remains to happen. And so, the important lessons today is God is not slack when it comes to his promises. The vision was sealed. And God keeps it close to his breast when he's ready to unveil it. And what's he waiting for? Of course, he's orchestrating everything. The last member of the body of Christ to come in. That has to happen for this other stuff to happen. So by looking at God's promises to Israel, we can see a confirmation, really, a backhanded way of his promises to us. We have to be completed before any of this can roll out for Israel, and God can fulfill the promises that he made and will carry out to the natural-born people, the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am zealous for that, not because it's my call, not because it's my gospel, but because I love Israel. And I love Israel because I love God.